This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Streets sometimes resembling sidewalk chalk. The drug has been found by law enforcement agencies in more than a dozen states, with the multicolored opioid appearing in the form of pills, blocks, and powder. Fentanyl and other synthetic opioids contributed to two-thirds of the country's over 107,000 drug overdose deaths last year. In other news, it's Friday. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website, nowdecatur.com.
A commitment to America. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what Republicans call their campaign strategy to win back control of the House in the midterm elections in 46 days. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy just detailed it to Fox in a diner in Pittsburgh.
Because this plan is about all these people sitting around a table talking about the challenges that they have. Can they afford it? Can they fill up their tank of gas? How do they survive with now the Democrats causing inflation? They lost a whole month's salary.
Now, Congressman Steve Scalise sitting next to him says this is another big issue.
Making communities safe again, in America that's safe, because frankly, it's out of control right now in so many big cities.
House Democrats just passed four bills on public safety that provide millions in new police funding, including violence prevention programs. Congressman Stephen Horsford says
we have to focus on preventing crime before it ever starts.
Now, Democrats have been campaigning hard on abortion rights, trying to keep control of the House in the fall. The head of a UN war crimes inquiry says they found significantly more evidence than they first thought, as three more mass grave sites have been found in areas Ukrainian troops liberated. In four other regions of Ukraine, Russian forces still control. People are voting by referendum, expected to agree to become part of Russia. Ukraine and the U.S. call that a sham. It's a very windy, rainy morning in Bermuda as Hurricane Fiona rushed by not far to the west on its way to a direct hit on Canada this weekend. Days after President Biden declared the pandemic is over, he added COVID is still a problem. We get this update.
The CDC says almost 4.5 million people in the U.S. have had the updated COVID-19 booster shot that targets the Omicron variant. Almost 72% of the U.S. population age 5 years and older is fully vaccinated against COVID-19. In the past week, more than 2,800 Americans died of COVID, according to Johns Hopkins.
That's Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
To you, my love, my heart I surrender just as soon as I deal with yonder fender bender, cause my ice cream truck is the way I make cash, so I'll buy you a ring when I lose this dress rash.
Owning a small business isn't always as lovely as it sounds, but at least Progressive Commercial saves you money with personalized discounts. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
I'm gonna make you so happy sometime next year, I hope.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage and discounts not available for all vehicles or states. Policy terms and conditions apply.
From the very beginning, and every workday since, at every shift, and every individual effort, we carry a common purpose, a common cause. It's a duty we proudly honor, knowing behind every product we build is your faith in us. Dedicated to the craft of gun making. Dedicated to your freedom, the quality, security, and the promise of this great country. Smith & Wesson, empowering Americans. Learn more at smith-wesson.com.
Now, we mentioned Hurricane Fiona moving by Bermuda, bringing hurricane force winds to that island. It's still a Category 3 storm with 125-mile-an-hour top sustained wind on its way to Canada. It'll hit this weekend. It already caused deadly destruction and flooding in Puerto Rico, where hundreds of thousands of people still have no power or water service. President Biden is promising more U.S. aid.
At the governor's request, I immediately approved an expedited major disaster declaration to provide individual and public assistance.
A condemned killer who was supposed to be dead is still alive this morning.
Alabama tried to execute Alan Miller last night but failed, just hours after the Supreme Court dismissed two lower court orders and said the execution could proceed. Alabama's corrections commissioner said the execution team had trouble accessing Miller's veins for a lethal injection. With just 30 minutes remaining on Miller's death warrant, they decided to call off the procedure. Miller, who was found guilty of killing three men in 1999, is back in his cell on death row. Ironically, he'd said he wanted to die by the untested method of nitrogen hypoxia because he's afraid of needles. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stocks could drop big yet again. Dow futures are down almost 400 points. That's on top of the 630 points already lost by the Dow the past 2 days after the Fed's latest interest rate hike. On Thursday Night Football,
give the ball to Chubb. Makes it look easy. Touchdown.
Nick Chubb and the Cleveland Browns kicked off week three of the NFL season on Amazon Prime Video, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers 29-17. Another team has clinched a spot in the Major League Baseball playoffs, the New York Yankees, with a win over the Boston Red Sox, though Aaron Judge went homerless. He remains one short of Roger Maris's American League record of 61 home runs in a season. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
It's Fuego Fridays, a radio show hosted by me, Dr. Z, every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WSOY. I'm bringing the heat, highlighting local community members, unlikely entrepreneurs, and culinary experiences in Central Illinois. Join me and my surprise co-host as we engage in intentional conversations around culture, food, fun, and social activities impacting our community. Make your Friday a Fuego Friday, every Friday at 5 p.m., WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, or online at nowdecatur.com.
Taking a look at your News Channel 20 storm team forecast for today. We do have a slight chance we could see some showers later this afternoon after 4 p.m. Mostly cloudy later today as well, with highs around 64 degrees. For tonight, 40% chance we could see some showers, mainly after 11 p.m. with cloudy skies and lows around 54. For your Saturday, warming up a little bit, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny and highs near 80. And Sunday, sunshine, highs near 75 degrees. It's 50 degrees right now in downtown Decatur. Your WSOY time is 8:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Byers & Company. I'll tell you about an incredible documentary I watched last night on Apple TV. It's a must-see, an absolute must-see. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Cares about that rain later today. It's beautiful right now in downtown Decatur. Crisp fall-like weather arriving, even though it's going to warm up a little bit over the weekend. We have a lot to do this weekend. There is the Duck Derby at the Children's Museum. You can go to cmofil.org and buy your tickets. The best deal out there, 40 ducks for $200. Buy it online. Simple, easy, and you don't have to be present to win.
But you should be, because it's fun.
Yeah, you should be, but you don't have to be.
I want to check out this new track.
Is it a track?
What?
I mean, that's the word that's used, and I'm sure it's accurate. It just wouldn't be the one that I would think of, right?
When you shoot.
I don't think I'd think of either one of those either, but that doesn't mean no, right?
What would you call it? A shoot, I think of as like, you know, maybe with water. A canal is like a narrow thing with water.
Maybe.
It's not a stream or a river, because that seems natural.
Yes, I agree.
So I'm going to go with a chute.
All right.
Like a flume. How about a flume?
A flume?
Yeah, a water flume.
No.
I got to look at the definition. Anyway.
I was looking up. I was trying to find my numbers. I've got them somewhere in my email. I don't know. $3,000 to the winner. I do know that. And then, of course, we have the Hispanic Heritage Month event, which will sort of wrap up the weekend in Fairview Park. and they have this Sunday the Centro for Hispanic and Immigrant Community Opportunities, Chico, celebrating from noon to four at the large pavilion, the number one pavilion there in Fairview. Looking forward to it.
I am too.
I was looking at the whole schedule of events, which the entertainment, the music, the food, all of it. Really, really good stuff. So looking forward to that. And we'll have stories and photo galleries and all that.
Yeah, I think Dom's heading to Richland this weekend for Operation Obstacle.
Oh, the obstacle course event. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had Scott Broyles in a few weeks ago to talk about that, supporting veterans' efforts, which is fantastic. And is Dom participating in the run or just documenting?
I think she's just documenting. Okay. She's had a rough week and with, you know, being ill herself, so I think I don't think she's going to be running the obstacle.
So she was planning on it before she got sick? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
That's okay. Just say you're not doing it. That's fine.
She's
you don't have to do it.
A no.
All right. Hey, by the way, for Hispanic Heritage Month, there's all kinds of events that Millikan University is participating in, including an upcoming performance on October 15th at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center by Tango del Cielo, which is a music and dance program and a fusion of styles, including tango and flamenco, Spanish classical, Latin jazz. That would be something to watch.
That would be.
Do you remember we went to the tango dancing thing at the Decatur Club? Do you recall that at all?
I do.
I think they were from like Argentina.
Yes. And it was beautiful to watch. And really, I made me want to learn really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Made me think there's no way in hell I'd ever be able to do that.
I couldn't do it either. I'm saying I want to learn. I'm not saying I could do it.
I don't know. Two ways of looking at it. All right. Yeah. So last night, I had read that there was a documentary about Sidney Poitier coming out, and I turned on the TV last night and turned on the Apple TV box, and there it was, just sitting there in a queue because it knew I was interested. And I turned it on because you went to bed early and said, I'm tired, I don't, you know, so I'm like, okay, perfect, documentary time. Because Lindsay's not really a documentary person.
I am.
No,
it's
not.
Just got to be
no,
very.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Oh, hush.
I can tell you way more times than you're not than when you are, which means you're not.
I just have a limited amount of time. I want to be very specific about what I watch. I wouldn't be interested in this.
No, no, you wouldn't. If I said to you, quit trying to be highbrow for the
radio
audience.
I'm not trying to be highbrow.
You don't like documentaries.
I love documentaries.
You do not.
Yes,
there's never
I do.
Been a documentary that you've wanted to watch.
It's just not things that you're interested in, which is pretty much how it works. Like you think because I watch documentaries, they're just not things you're interested in. Therefore,
I'm saying
I don't watch documentaries.
I watch a lot of documentaries. I find it way more fascinating than what people can create, you know, theatrically or from some sort of like imagination place. I find real life more interesting often than the stuff that's created.
I would agree.
No, you don't.
But I think you do watch more documentaries.
There's no thinking. I absolutely do. Yeah. It's just a matter of fact.
It's a matter of time.
No, it's not. Because if I said to you, let's watch whatever, you'd be like, yeah.
You know,
if I said the documentary about Sidney Poitier, don't act highbrow.
I would see this. However, I don't want to watch a 4-part documentary about Van Halen. I know enough about Van Halen.
I've never watched a documentary about Van Halen.
What I'm saying is some music ones I find to be a little...
It has
much.
Nothing to do with what we're talking about now, but I digress. No, more importantly, you digress. I'll get us back on track. Sidney is what it's called. And it is really good. I know I remember being transfixed with Sidney Poitier's voice. He had that great voice. Almost an accent, but not really an accent, something you couldn't place. He copied it from a radio broadcaster.
Really?
And that's where he learned about enunciation and his very specific delivery of the English language, which was very unique. You can go to Porgy and Bess. You can go to A Raisin in the Sun, A Patch of Blue, To Sir with Love, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, The Heat of the Night.
Heat of the Night.
Yeah. Any of these performances, he had that very powerful delivery of the English language. The Defiant Ones with Tony Curtis. I go back, right, to the old days. Blackboard Jungle. And I just remember being so fascinated with him as a kid, as a performer, because he was so magnetic on the screen. But I didn't really know anything. And at that time, you didn't know anything because there was no internet and people didn't have to know everything about everybody. They were movie stars. So Sidney Poitier and Paul Newman, I mean, you just lumped everybody together. They were just movie stars. And I've thankfully, over the last couple of weeks, really gotten some insight into those childhood sort of, like, I was a fan of their movies. And the Last Movie Stars, which is on HBO, which is like a 4-part documentary that Ethan Hawke did about Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. Really good. But man, you learn so much about them as people. Good, bad, and ugly. And last night I felt the same way about Sidney. He was technically born in Miami, because his parents were there doing business. They farmed and were selling things in Miami, but lived on Cat Island and in the Bahamas. And he grew up, a lot of this is in his own words. He just died in January of this past year at the age of 94. And a lot of this is him directly looking into the camera with that magnetic voice and projection and telling you his life story. He grew up not knowing what a mirror was. Like the first time he saw a mirror, like explaining that he didn't know what it was or how it worked. He never thought about what he looked like. A very simple life in the Bahamas. He goes to Miami. As a young man, some of his friends got in trouble. His father was worried that he was heading down that road and sent him to live with a relative in Miami, Florida. Got a job as a delivery guy for like a Macy's, like a kind of department store sort of thing. And I want you to think about this just for a minute, because it does explain America in a lot of ways that are not good. They give him the address to deliver a package to a home from a woman who ordered whatever, and he's the delivery guy. And this is in Miami, Florida in the 1940s. And he goes and he delivers the package, and she opens the front door, immediately angry that this black man is at her front door. And demands that he goes to the back door to deliver the package that he has in his hands that she has ordered from the department store. He didn't know what a mirror was and grew up mostly among other black people, but that was never a thing or not a thing. It was just life. And now all of a sudden he's here in this land of opportunity.
And told he can't use a front door.
Right. So he just puts the package. She slams the door in his face. He puts the package on the porch and leaves. That visit to the front door of this wealthy woman in Miami, Florida, then leads to the Klan coming to his family's home and the cops stopping him on his bicycle and following him for 52 blocks and tells him if he looks and turns around, they're going to shoot him in the head. Welcome to America. And this isn't welcome to America with, oh, I have a history here of this is how, this is like literally, I come from this place where I didn't know what a mirror was, right? Where I didn't have, you know, the written language skills or all the different things, where it just wasn't a thing because that's just not what it was, to now I don't even understand why you are mad at me that I'm knocking on your door to deliver something that you have asked for.
Yeah, he doesn't know what a mirror is.
But there's no dynamics of race or anything else in his life until this moment.
Yeah.
He goes on to serve our country in uniform and goes on to become one of the best actors in the history of film.
How many Academy Awards?
2 Academy Awards. Good. And the first black man to win an Academy Award. BAFTAs, Golden Globes, all kinds of incredible awards over the years and incredible performances, and even knighted by Queen Elizabeth in 1974, because at that point, the Bahamas was still under
British
rule.
Yeah.
So
do you have a favorite movie?
You know, to me, you know, it's crazy that there are people will, He, by the way, was very funny in Stir Crazy with Richard Pryor in 19. That, you know, that is like a later in life role. And he was in Sneakers, you know, with like Robert Redford and was the young kid that died, River Phoenix. Remember that with Dan Aykroyd where they were like in the CIA or whatever? I think Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is probably my favorite. I do like In the Heat of the Night. I hated when they turned that into a television show because it was such a great movie. To Sir With Love is pretty good. Raising the Sun, Porgy and Bess. I mean, you know, pick them. It's a fascinating documentary. I would highly encourage you to watch it. What an interesting life story. By the way, got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest honor in the United States of America, given to a civilian by President Barack Obama. So knighted by the Queen, Presidential Medal of Freedom. Standing on that front porch in Miami, Florida.
Getting the door slammed in his face.
It's an amazing American tale. And it's really, really, really good. And I enjoyed, I don't always, like, sometimes the documentary isn't as interesting when the camera's on the individual, but he is so captivating in his delivery. Even at the age of whatever, 92, 93, whatever it was that they filmed this. So magnetic and powerful in his ability to captivate using words and language. Very, very good. And I feel rewarded as a human being to have shared in his story. If that makes any sense. I think it was Oprah Winfrey's company that put the documentary together, and she and other people are in it, including Morgan Freeman and others, you know, doing Denzel Washington, you know, giving commentary. It's not just all him looking into the camera.
I would say probably one of the first movies I saw was, I always would watch movies with my dad, and they tended to be Westerns,
Buck and the Preacher.
It's an old one.
Well,
very old one.
How old?
Well, maybe like 72.
Okay, that would be later in his career.
Yes, much later in his career. But
you kids, you never have any perspective of time. That would be an old one. It was 1972. Gosh,
thank you so much. You call me a kid.
No, it was like he was doing great stuff in the 60s. So this wasn't like an old one. This would have been a newer one.
But to me, it was
an
old Western.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Belafonte, by the way, and Sidney Poitier were lifelong friends and also kind of bickering, and they had a very complicated relationship. He was also in that American Western, Buck and the Preacher. I don't remember that. I kind of remember that, but I don't know that I've ever seen it.
It was like he was a slave in the Civil War.
Sidney was Buck and Harry Belafonte was the Preacher.
Yes. And then they go out.
Ruby Dee, by the way, was also in that.
Wagon train.
Okay.
And then there's like Southern plantation, you know, owners who are mad about this whole thing. It's yeah, I loved it.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen it. By the way, before you do any of that, just watch Sidney on Apple TV. Speaking of which, I was reading an interesting story yesterday about subscription services and how, who, what, you know, where people are doing what they're doing, because I do really I think that we don't know what all this is going to look like. We know what the old package was. You've got a cable bill and, you know, here's, you know, all the stuff that was included. And then we went, oh, no, no, no. We want a la carte. We want to be able to pick. And now the a la carte is so full that you're almost back to what you were doing originally. And there's going to be some sort of shape of that. 25% of Netflix subscribers plan to leave the service. Apple TV, which I just talked about, is ranked the lowest on the most used streaming video list. Where do you think all this ends?
Consolidations?
Well, let's just take a look at what you mean by that. Disney, which is number 3 on the list, owns Hulu, mm-hmm. which is number 5 on the list.
What's number 1?
Netflix is still number 1.
Okay.
Nearly 4 out of 5 Americans currently subscribe to the platform. In addition, 70% say they use Netflix the most, followed by HBO Max, Disney Plus, Peacock, Hulu, Apple TV, and Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
That said, about 25% of Netflix subscribers say they're planning on canceling their subscriptions. Of those who plan to leave the streaming service, 2/3 say the increasing cost is one of the reasons. They keep bumping up the cost of all of these, right? 1 in 3 respondents said Netflix no longer has the shows they want to watch. 30% said that they use other streaming services more. Last but not least, and quit breathing into the microphone, the survey shows the percentage of subscribers each of the most popular streaming services has. 76% subscribe to Netflix. Only 46% in second place are Disney Plus. 42% HBO Max. 33% Peacock. 26% Hulu. 22% Apple. Now, I'm stunned about Amazon Prime subscribers. That number can't be right.
You know, this is the thing about Amazon Prime. You have Amazon Prime if, like, for the streaming service, if you have Amazon
right.
Prime. So it kind of feels very, like, I don't use my Amazon Prime streaming as much.
Why not?
But occasionally I will look for certain things, but generally things aren't available, like series, you know, I think we watched, what was it, Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, there's all kinds of
but generally
Amazon.
I will look for things to that I can right. purchase there.
Now, even then, when you're adding this up, though, what you have to factor in is that in second place is Disney, and in fifth place is Hulu. They're owned by the same, so that you add that together, that's 72% going to Disney.
And for a while, I honestly thought, didn't know if Hulu was going to stay around.
Why would you think that?
Initially.
You don't even watch any of this stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Not very much. On your own? How often do
you
spend?
I don't watch documentaries. I don't.
You listen to books. You watch TikTok. That's what you do.
You didn't know I had a nephew's shower. I'm not sure you really know what I watch, to be honest.
Okay.
I do watch Hulu.
Like, hang on a second. You don't spend an inordinate amount of time on TikTok.
I do. I like TikTok.
I mean, like, literally.
And that's where I find a lot of the shows that I want to see.
Yeah, what was the last thing you watched on Hulu? Just out of curiosity.
Okay, remember that Irish show that we liked when we were flying to Ireland and we found it's, I still watch episodes of that on Hulu.
Okay, there's only so many episodes. How long has it taken you in the 10 years since we've been to Ireland?
They had 6 more seasons after that, okay. So I enjoy that.
No, they didn't.
There's also, I'm going back, there's another show that I really like that's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's hilarious and they're like little tiny bites around 15 minutes long and they're hilarious. It's basically this.
And they're on Hulu?
It's on Hulu. It's a woman and her gay best friend that they basically live together like a married couple. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But I do watch some things. I generally find them on TikTok.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You listen to audiobooks and you watch TikTok. 90% of your entertainment. Fair or unfair?
I'd say 80%.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was off by
10%.
80% of your entertainment. The other 20% you spend watching Hulu.
Probably about 10% okay. of that remaining. Yeah.
You're the kind of entertainment consumer, by the way. Like, and Dom, this is absolutely 100% true. Don't let her lie to you during the break. You know, you had to have this because you had to watch this series that you then just quit watching completely.
Oh, yeah. I need to go back and finish that.
That's how much you love entertainment. Yeah. Like you had to have it to watch this. Had to set it up on the TV, went all through all the, and you watch like 2 episodes and then you've never gone back to it.
Yeah. I will though.
Okay.
have something I really want to watch.
And
right
if
now,
I looked at you last night and said, hey, do you want to watch this documentary about Sidney Poitier?
No,
you would have said absolutely.
No, I would have said yes. But no. You know what? Bed seemed more appealing to me.
Don't fib.
I can't imagine why.
Don't fib. So what is the grand total of what you're willing to pay for all this and how much, right? Is what we're really talking about. Nicole Bateman's going to join us from EDC this hour. And I'll count my apps because I really don't know. And I'm quite frankly sort of terrified to find out. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hola, my name is Luis Peralta. I'm a board member with Chico, an organization that connects Hispanic and immigrant families to resources, cultural opportunities, and youth development. In partnership with United Way, we are excited to bring you our second annual Hispanic Heritage Cultural Celebration. September 25th from noon to 4 p.m. at Fairview Park. Enjoy local food trucks, vendors, and entertainers for a unique cultural experience. For more information, go to DonaldDecatur.com.
At Scott State Bank, we want to be your community bank. Hello, this is Luke Williams, Vice President and the Mount Zion Location Manager. I invite you to check out all the benefits of a locally owned community bank can offer you and your business. We offer the same services as a big bank, but still understand the importance of giving personal attention to our customers that makes us second to none. Community banks build better communities and brighter futures. Scott State Bank has been investing in our community since 1887. We are customer-focused, community-driven, committed to you. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Carrick. Bermuda feeling the effects of Hurricane Fiona as it heads towards northeast Canada.
It's a Cat 3 out in the Atlantic, and these Cat 2 force winds that keep coming in here are wreaking havoc here on the island.
Fox Weather's Robert Ray in Hamilton Parish, Bermuda. Russia accused of war crimes in Ukraine and forced deportation of more than a million Ukrainians to Russia. Now holding a vote asking residents in occupied areas if they want to become part of Russia. The vote called a sham by the U.S. and other countries being used as a ploy to accuse Ukraine of attacking Russia. And the House passes four bills related to policing.
46 days from a midterm election, they want the American people to suddenly and miraculously believe that they care about the crime crisis plaguing our nation.
Republican Representative Pete Stauber, America's listening to Fox News.
Hola, my name is Luis Peralta. I'm a board member with Chico, an organization that connects Hispanic and immigrant families to resources, cultural opportunities, and youth development. In partnership with United Way, we are excited to bring you our second annual Hispanic Heritage Cultural Celebration. September 25th from noon to 4 p.m. at Fairview Park. Enjoy local food trucks, vendors, and entertainers for a unique cultural experience. For more information, go to DonaldDecatur.com.
Seymour's Code is about freedom. It's about living the life by your own unique code. This is Dr. J. Join me and sometimes the handsome Dr. JK each Wednesday at 5 p.m. for The Morris Code. We talk about living life authentically. And for me, that is aligning who I am, what I believe, and what I do. That is The Morris Code. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, and streaming live on NowDecatur.com.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today we've got a 30% chance of seeing some showers in the afternoon, mostly cloudy and highs near 64. For tonight, 40% chance of showers, mainly before 11, mostly cloudy and lows around 54. For your Saturday, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny and highs near 78. Sunday, sunshine, highs near 74 degrees. It is 51 degrees right now in downtown Decatur. Your WSOY time is 8:33.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Now, I'm no psychic, but even I can foresee at least one thing in your future, you breaking up with your big-name wireless carrier. Because after hearing about Xfinity Mobile's biggest wireless deal yet, why wouldn't you? Now you can get the best price for two lines of unlimited, just $30 a line per month, saving you hundreds on your wireless bill a year over T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon. All on the fastest mobile service. It's the best kept secret in wireless. If I could read the stars, I'll bet it's written somewhere up there too, probably. So tell me, was my prediction correct, and should I consider a career change? Start seeing savings today. Switch to the fastest mobile service, Xfinity Mobile, now with the best price on two lines of unlimited, just $30 a line per month. Xfinity Internet required. Price comparison for two unlimited lines under available 5G pricing plans for the top three characters. Taxes and fees extra. Reduce speeds after 20 gigabytes of usage per line. Most reliable based on RootMetrics U.S. report. Results vary. Not an endorsement. Comcast analyst of analysis of mobile Wi-Fi and cellular data from Ookla speed test intelligence Q2 2022. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. All right, Nicole Bateman will join us here in just a couple of minutes. We got the Children's Museum Duck Derby taking place tomorrow. I can't find my duck numbers. I'm looking.
Oh no.
No, I mean, they're here. I just have to find them in the email, right? And they'll know because it's attached to my name. Here we go. Got it. I have ducks number 1908 through 1947.
Nice.
That sound good? Sound lucky?
Yeah, that sounds lucky.
First place is $3,000. That would be a good weekend. That'd be a good Saturday, right? To win $3,000?
Yeah.
And then there'll people who go, well, you know, if you're the sponsor, that might look bad. No, it won't.
No.
Won't look bad at all.
Look good.
And I'm keeping it. No, it'll be a lot of fun. Come on out. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on at the Children's Museum tomorrow for the Duck Derby. No such thing as too much fun, as they like to say. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And then you've got the obstacle course event that's going on to help veterans efforts, which is really great. And then we'll be at the Hispanic Heritage Month celebration on Sunday at Fairview Park. Really looking forward to that as well. I was looking at some of the there's going to be raffle winners. There's going to be demonstrations. There's going to be music. I love the music.
I'm so psyched for the food.
There's a dance presentation. There's all kinds of great stuff. Noon to 4 at Fairview. Yeah, I was wondering about, you know, they got craft vendors. They got food vendors. They're going to have the Milindo, is it Tizapan food truck? El Corral and Las Margaritas food truck.
All right.
Yeah. And they've got Dos Amigos Mexican store. They've got all kinds of great craft vendors. They got activities. They do face painting, balloon artists. Ed Lozano's going to be out there doing characters. They got a DJ photo booth. They got games being provided by Richland Community College. All kinds of people helping out to make it a great event. I hope you join us this coming Sunday from noon to 4. It's going to be fun. So much for the weekend off. We're not really getting the weekend off.
No.
We are going to take Monday through Wednesday, though.
You are.
Well, so are you. Well, you're not, I guess. Are you?
No.
You've had vacation.
Yeah. I'm just not producing the show.
So here's the thing. Here's what it really boils down to. And I had all these people going, oh, enjoy your well-deserved time off.
Yeah.
It's been a year.
Since you've had any time off.
Since I've had any vacation time. Mm-hmm. And my vacation time, literally, it isn't Saturday and Sunday.
Nope.
Those are work days because we have a lot going on. It's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday morning until 9.
Yeah.
Because then I got to be in Champaign for an all-company meeting all day.
You're still working Wednesday.
So I'm taking 2 days and a work hour.
Yes.
Off.
That's it. And it's late September. No, I've had vacations, so.
Well, good for you. You're much better at this than I am. I have no one to blame but myself.
I'm trying to make it a priority. That's why I think it's really important you do too.
But look how much trouble. Look at the hoops you got to jump through to get 2 days and an hour off.
It is very difficult. It is very difficult. I mean, even this week with everything going on, it was like, okay, how's this going to work?
Well, the whole idea was when Nick went on you say paternity, I say maternity leave because he's really not doing anything other
potato,
than
potato, whatever.
Yeah. I thought, well, okay, I'll take some time off then too, because that just makes sense.
Yes. But then like once it actually happened, you were like, I don't know how to do this. I got to have this and I got this and I got all, you know, it happens, of course. There's not unexpectedly, and you're supposed to kind of like rearrange everything.
And yeah. And I appreciate Kevin, who's going to come in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday and do the show. I really do. Very much so. Now, I can't promise you how much Trump crap he's going to give you. I don't know. That's up to him. I don't care.
I can personally guarantee Brian will not be listening.
I don't. I have to let go. It's just one of those things over the years. You just can't do that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't. You're right. When I'm not here, I let it go. For 2 days and 1 hour.
Yes. You'll be back Thursday, though.
I will be back
Thursday. I don't know if I will be back Thursday.
It all depends.
It really depends.
Oh, hot.
We're just being honest with you.
It's been a state of flux this last week.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Sometimes that's good, right? You got to shake things up a little bit. Nick, mom, baby, all good.
Yes.
Stop bothering me.
And little miss is beautiful.
She is a gorgeous child, if there is such a thing.
She is.
Robin Williams said most babies look like little old men dipped in 40
women. I know. But she is adorable.
She is. And everything's good. But beyond that, don't ask me because I'm not the PR person for the family. Although I've been in a state of barrage for the last 3 days, 4 days, people wanting to know what's going on.
Well, for those that want to know, 6.76 pounds. 20 inches.
That's a different answer than you gave earlier. You just made the answer up.
The second
earlier.
Time I made it up because I couldn't remember. I knew it was 7.9, but it's 7.67.
You just said 6 points.
7.67.
You just said something different than that.
Because I was explaining that the second time I kind of had to guess.
No. When you read it,
God, does it matter?
Yeah. This is kind of why we never work together on air.
There's a lot of reasons.
No,
but
just does it matter? Yeah.
No, you just said this. Okay. 7.67 pounds, 20 inches long.
6'7". Okay. Like we need to know to that degree.
Yes.
What does that tell you? What is the difference in like, 7.43?
But basically she's 7.6 ounces.
Okay.
Yeah. The
and
extra
the ounces
seven.
Matter for what particular reason?
Well,
like you just can't
tiny?
Round it to a pound.
When you're that tiny, ounces matter.
Okay. In what way?
Well, there's only 16 ounces in a pound, and so each little, that's over a half pound right there.
Okay. Then why not just say 7.5 pounds?
You could say that.
Okay.
If you're a dude. And you don't care. And you have no heart.
It's not that I don't care. It's just so arbitrary. I don't understand
the
importance.
You think it's arbitrary.
Arbitrary in that if it's in a healthy range and there's nothing wrong, I don't know why you need to know.
I really think it is just because we can't really go, she was born, she, really enjoys poetry and, is fond of Entenmann's Danishes. They have no personality at this point.
Yes.
They have nothing to offer. So the only thing we have is their height and their weight and their time of birth.
Okay.
That's what you get.
It's woman code. I don't
get
it.
Just like showers and oohing and aahing over opening like baby clothes and stuff.
And I'm all for it. Have fun. Whatever. Knock yourself out.
I'm just there for the food.
But I get off the phone and you're like, did you? I'm like, well, no, I didn't.
I just felt like that would be something that would be like, hey, she's here this much.
What I said to you was, and this is what like any human being on earth, hey, they had the baby. She's healthy. Everyone's good.
Yes.
Like the important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you immediately went, did you ask the important
questions?
No,
I said, how much does she weigh? And you went, why would I know that? Because that's... You don't know how much she weighed. No, why would I know that? Yeah, that was how the conversation went. And I realized you're not the person to get this information from.
Guys, you're welcome. it literally, like, why I would care about that. No, Nick, how long is she?
And maybe Nick didn't really even care. Like, maybe he didn't even realize that was anything.
No, literally, what's her height? She can't stand up. Okay, so
look,
you just got to measure laying down.
When Zane was born... He's born. They're like, oh, okay, here he is, whatever. And I'm like, what time is it? And they went, oh my God, time. Look at the time. Like they even knew it was important to note the time.
Okay.
For the parent or one of the parents at least.
All right, let's do the break here. I'm done with this.
It's not my fault you don't understand.
No, it's not. You're right about that. You didn't invent the whole thing. You're just perpetuating it. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after the Marquee Coffee break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in our beans.
In 1965, my father founded Brinkotter Realtors with a singular goal, to support his community's real estate needs with integrity, purpose, and a forward-facing approach to business. Over 55 years later, Brinkotter Realtors still embodies that spirit. Connection, commitment, community. When you're planning to make a move, go with the name you know. Get the service you deserve. Go to Brinkotter.com to connect with one of our agents today.
Find your way home. Brinkotter.com.
I thought learning a language would be too much work, but Babbel makes learning fun. J'aime Babbel.
Babbel's lessons only take 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks you can actually speak another language. Como si fuera magia.
Babbel isn't robots talking. You learn words and phrases from real native speakers. I was ready for real-life conversations in just a few weeks. So easy.
Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's B-A-B-B-E-L.com. Babbel.com.
Hi, I'm Corky Nicholson with Hickory Point Bank. Running a local business is tough. We get it, because Hickory Point Bank is a local business, too. As one of Central Illinois' leading locally owned banks, we've been serving Decatur businesses and families for years. Most importantly, we know and understand the issues you face every day, because we face them, too. Join us and see the local difference. Hickory Point Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
We're back here on a beautiful Friday morning where the fall air is out, and it was crisp coming in this morning, and that's okay. I love fall. All I want to root for is just to have an actual fall, meaning it doesn't rain till all the leaves fall off the trees and we actually get some color and some fall. That's all I'm asking for. My favorite time of the year. Nicole is in with us from the Economic Development Corporation, and it is good to see you. Is there a time of year for EDC? Is it 12 months a year? I mean, are there patterns to people, you know, like heading into New Year's and new budgets, or is it just all over the place?
You know, it kind of used to be that way. A lot of decisions were happening in the spring on, okay, what are we going to try to, you know,
accomplish
where do we want to
get before year. Yeah.
The, yep, but now it's just pedal to the metal all the time, which is fun, but can make it a little challenging.
I would imagine so.
It's
and then
seasonal.
Throw the world into COVID and supply chain and everything That's, else. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know that we know what all this is going to look like when it shakes itself out, right?
No, we certainly don't. But I'll tell you, a lot of what we're seeing is, you know, not a total reshore of product and production facilities, but a lot of focus on, okay, what can we make here so that we don't put ourselves in those positions again. And so we're seeing a lot of, you know, interest in Made in America again, which is great.
All right. So it's been a few days since our last time together, but let's talk about the governor being here and with what happened with Karen Richard and their company. And do you feel like Illinois, it seems to be some of it accidental, some of it purposeful, but you know, I don't know that anybody could have landed on Rivian landing here, but it did. And is there a component around the whole EV industry of not necessarily making the cars, but making all the things that go into the cars or buses or trucks or whatever it might be? I feel like there's some real potential here beyond even the great announcement that we had.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, we think of it as the last mile. So you, when you're looking at supply chains and delivery, you want to make sure that your last mile is seamless and quick. And so for Decatur to be positioned to be kind of the component manufacturing hub, that means that we're going to be able to reach all these major markets that are then producing the final product, like the Rivian or like Lion Electric up near Joliet, or things, you know, that are happening down in the Southeast. We're just really well positioned to do that here and then to distribute those products quickly and be a solution for some of those supply chain issues that companies were seeing. And, you know, not just in the electric vehicle space, but that is a purposeful attraction and intent from the state of Illinois. And so when they're purposeful about it, they're able to be creative and put together new incentive packages, because we do, you have to incentivize companies to come to your state.
Right.
All states do that. It's not just unique, but when to Illinois, but when we put some real, you know, effort behind it and are focused on some very specific areas, that certainly helps Illinois to get great looks in a very quickly emerging industry.
And then how does that situate itself to Macon County and to Decatur specifically? I mean, I know if you go to TCCI's website, you know, their entire messaging now is driving the shift to electric, right? And they're making electric compressors. But, I mean, there's all kinds of components. Because a car doesn't come with an engine doesn't mean it doesn't come. I mean, there are thousands of more components that are in an electric car than a non-electric car.
Definitely. And some are going to be specific to electric cars, and some are just going to be specific to the automobile industry as a whole. But when you have these electric vehicle producers that are popping up in the state of Illinois, certainly, you know, some of these are going to be more geared towards the electric vehicles. But having, you know, working with the state of Illinois and having tools in our tool belt so that we can position Macon County as a recipient of those projects is really important. I think we've done a good job of elevating our community's capabilities over the past number of years. So we're starting to see the fruits of that labor. But certainly without any meaningful opportunities from the state of Illinois to help attract these companies, it would be harder for us to attract them and get that investment in Macon County.
And then what about workforce?
Okay, so workforce obviously is the number one driver for decisions for companies, certainly among the top three. We do have to continue to work on our workforce. We have people in our community, and this is, and let me preface this by saying, this is not unique to Decatur and Macon County. This is happening all over the country. But what we are able to do, because of our great size, we're big enough to have an impact, but small enough to be agile and, you know, kind of really try some new things. We've got to be more creative about how we're engaging the workforce in our community and those that have the potential to work that aren't working. Why aren't they working? Where are they living? How do we take the training to them? Because what we're doing is working, and we have some fantastic programs. So we got to scale those up. It's working, and they're getting attention even on the national level. But we need to do that more en masse, because the jobs that we have now, we have a lot of openings now, and we've got more coming. And so we really are taking a hard look at this. The city and the county have funded an workforce ecosystem study, and we've been talking about that a lot this week. And as the final report is almost complete now, and how we can engage all the community partners to really make that.
I know it's not complete, but what are there signs of what you're learning? I mean, because this story seems to be being told. I mean, I read a story yesterday, you know, about how the military is just, they're flabbergasted that what they've always been able to do, they can't do anymore to recruit. I mean, this is being told in every category there is.
It is. Yeah. We, everybody in every category has to start thinking differently about how we approach life as we knew it. Right. Cause it's not the same. And that's, I think, due to a lot of factors, certainly the way we communicate, the way we receive information as human beings now is different than it was 10 years ago.
Sure.
And you know, so when we're talking about, okay, yeah, we have jobs open. Yeah. But is that message reaching everybody? And how do we make sure that they not only know about the jobs, but that they're skilled and they're ready for these jobs? But yeah, some of the things we're seeing is that, you know, we do have folks in our community that are disconnected, and not for any specific reasons, you know, and maybe it's not intentional, but they're disconnected, and how do we reach them? Because they can work. They want to work. We need to work on upskilling those that are working so that we kind of move people through these career pathways. We've got to do a better job in our younger students in our school systems on making sure that they know about career. So not just jobs, but true career literacy, and helping them to get on a path where they're going to grow. They're not just, you know, getting one certificate and then staying in that position, because then that becomes a dead end for them. What else can they be doing? What other certifications can we bring to them so that they move up through that workforce and that career pipeline, which then essentially makes room for others to enter the workforce? And so We've got to think about it differently because our nation is in a situation that we'd not experienced before, right?
No, I think there's, we were having this conversation with the Richland professor yesterday about the constant need for education, whereas mm-hmm. our grandparents, you know, would go to school, maybe to college or trades, you know, and learn something and go do it for 30 years and retire. Those days are gone. I mean, because 30 years is mm-hmm. a lifetime mm-hmm. in technology and innovation, like that we're constantly going to have to be educated.
Definitely, because our companies are changing.
Right.
A company is not going to operate
and will change 10 more times.
Exactly. And changing more rapidly. So while maybe from 0 to 30 years in your career, the company changed a little, but with technology and innovation today, these companies are changing at such a rapid pace. Their employees need to continue, that education needs to be continual, as they said.
And I think also, you know, we're trying to figure all this out as well. I mean, you know, post COVID, you know, through COVID, you know, work from home, work in place. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like that people just need to let this evolve into what it's going to evolve into and not fight it, right? I mean, on either side of that, I think there's people that want to go, no, everybody comes back and we do what we did before. I don't think that works. I think everybody's like, nope, we'd be completely detached. I don't think that works. It's going to be some sort of hybrid that's going to be what it's going to be, right?
It is. And change is hard. I mean,
and people hate it.
And people hate change. And if we just know that about, you know, we know that about ourselves, we know that about employees, and we know that about just human beings. They hate change, and I get that, but things are changing. And yeah, how we figure out and where each company settles on that, you know, kind of remote work versus not remote, that'll play into their company culture and how they move forward.
All right. I got to ask you about some pockets. I think sometimes that we forget about people in a community, and there's been some extra effort in the community, you know, in the last year or so, which I think is fantastic. But this Hispanic Heritage Month celebration, mm-hmm. We have a large and thriving Hispanic population in this community that has basically sort of been ignored. And mm-hmm. gratefully, people are now paying more attention. You know, do we do enough when it comes to economic development, when it comes to jobs and connecting people to jobs and education, you know, successfully speaking to these markets of people that we have here in Decatur? Because once again, to your point about change, we had kind of the old way of doing it. You just throw a big net out there, but maybe it needs to be more microscopic in its point of view.
It does. And it has to be developed. And I'm so excited that Chico is formal now, and it's a formal organization, because what that does for me, it gives me a point of contact in a community where they trust their leadership, so we can work together. Because it's difficult to go out and find, like, okay, who do I talk to help nurture this, and that can be difficult. But when a group organizes like they have, and they've started putting on events, and they've started, you know, being places where we want them to be and need them to be, so that their voices are heard, so that they're part of the community conversation. Kind of goes back to my point earlier about how there just are some folks in the community that are disconnected. And again, it's not intentional, but I feel like the Hispanic community here has been disconnected, and I think it was unintentional, but they're here and they are doing a wonderful job. And I'm just really excited for them. I'm excited for our community because, you know, we do have a diverse community, but if we don't have groups that are organizing and helping to showcase their cultures, we won't see it. And I'm glad that they're doing that.
Absolutely. I think that sometimes, it feels like we ought to be all connected just because of the ease of connection today and how many channels there are, but it's almost like there's too many channels.
Yes.
Sometimes that is the opposite impact. It's, mm-hmm. it's not more inclusive. Sometimes it's exclusive, not by intent, but just because there's so many channels.
It creates a lot of silos.
Yeah.
And then the way that we're fed information is based on that silo and the interest that the silo that we're in presents. And so then we're constantly only getting the information we want to see.
And even if it's not by bad intent or anything, it just ends up being that way because mm-hmm. it's easier to sort of separate. Well, there's so many great things going on. Kudos for all your work with TCCI and the governor's office and Andy Menar and all the people. I mean, I know the politicians all show up and get credit for it, but it's a lot of hard work done by a lot of people behind the scenes.
So many people involved.
Yeah.
Yep, definitely.
More good news on the way, though, right?
Sure is.
Always. I don't know how you stay so optimistic. You got to keep everything to yourself. Can't share anything.
I know. It's
got to wait, sit around and wait. There's so many factors and so many things that can kind of throw a monkey wrench into things.
For sure.
It's the patience I don't have. So I'm grateful and thankful that you were there. Hey, I found the radio announcer guy's name, Lindsay. His name is Norman, Brokenshire, I think, where Sidney Poitier learned his voice. If you watch the documentary on Apple, you talk about an unbelievable story of American history and one of the most talented guys to ever grace the screen. It is really good. Also a reflection on America. So check it out. Nicole, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Next week, I'll be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Kevin will be in. On Friday, we're going to help ADM celebrate their 120th birthday. That'll be fun, right? I'll be back in the saddle on Thursday morning. Once again, Baby Smith has arrived. That's all the details I have. Do not bother me anymore. Everyone's happy and healthy. We will see you next week. Have a great weekend.
WSOY Decatur and W277DB Decatur. WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. Richland is placing a stronger focus on mental health. This past Monday and Tuesday, the college moved forward in its partnership with the Jed Foundation and held a Fresh Check Day to better support the emotional well-being of students. Richland started this four-year partnership with the Jed Foundation in February to create a more supportive environment for students. The Illinois Department of Employment Security has announced the state has been awarded a $6.8 million equity grant from the U.S. Department of Labor. The grant will allow IDES to better understand and address equity gaps within the state's unemployment.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.